The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yes! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Street chair.
Touchdown!
Parsons has sacked it.
Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Nick Harris, John Mashoda, and Kyle Yeomans.
It's a wonderful Wednesday edition of Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. And since it's the day before a game, Isaiah Standback, you know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You can say it this time.
QB Vision.
No. I mean, yes, we will talk about QB Vision, but you can say it this time. It's a...
I don't know, Kyle.
It's not a Friday, but
Nick,
it's...
Say it with your chest Wednesday.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, I'm sorry.
It's a say it with your chest Wednesday,
I didn't get my push-ups in this morning.
No,
I apologize,
you didn't.
Boys.
That did me
obviously
really well.
You did.
Congestion in my stomach. I'm going to keep doing that.
Get it up out of there.
If y'all see me doing this during the show, that's why.
Just the whole time, Nick's going to be banging on the chest. It's a say it with your chest Wednesday.
It is.
Weird. Come on, Isaiah.
Sorry, man. My body's like on a clock, on a timer, you know? Like,
is it on West Coast time?
I see what you did there. Yeah.
We'll Pac-12 time?
Come on, CST. You
know Seattle time?
Coming up soon.
I will say, the Thursday to Thursday whole mix-up of the schedule where today is Saturday in the building, but it's still Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 for the regular work week. It's not beneficial for the body clock. And I feel like there's a lot of adjusting that has to be made along the way. But glad you're with us here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. We have plenty to talk about today. We're actually going to do all three of our weekly segments today. We're going to have QB Vision here in this segment. We're going to have John's National Storylines in segment two. And then we will have Nick Harris's key matchups in segment three, followed by our pick'em for the Cowboys game specifically. Following that, and then of course we've got our news and notes to start things off, so we got to get to it.
Yeah, we'll make these news and notes super quick so we can get to Isaiah's beautiful segment that
beautiful.
He does every week. We'll start with the practice report from yesterday. It looks like there's a sickness going around the D-line room. Dante Fowler,
not just the D-line room.
Dante Fowler missed his second straight day of practice yesterday with an illness, and then Micah Parsons was added to the injury report yesterday. Uh-oh. Did not practice with an illness, and the first joke, well, not joke, it's not funny. I guess it is because I'm sick too. But Micah Parsons, if I'm his agent, I'm like, hey, look, my guy, he's a defensive lineman. He's getting sick around all the other defensive linemen, you know? So in the offseason, that could be a point.
When you're talking about contracts.
Like, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, him and Dante Fowler are spending a lot of time
together.
Let's
talk about this for a second. I can't let this go. If you're a member of the front office staff and you walked up to his agent and even tried to sell anything on linebacker, you don't even respond. You fold up your stuff, you just put your stuff away, and you walk right out. Like,
there's
no way that you can get away with even that's a non-starter. Well, nope. We're good.
No.
That was kind of the rhetoric, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but we're going to have a ton of time on this throughout, especially the offseason as well, but there was a lot of rhetoric throughout the offseason from people that were not Micah Parsons saying that he was a linebacker, and he was saying that he was a defensive lineman, and I guess there was a little bit of variance you could have had going into the season, but we're looking at 85% of the snaps that he's played on the line.
The most impactful snaps.
Yeah, double-digit sacks. I mean, I don't think we can go much further with that dialogue. looking at the rest of the injury report, we'll go down it really fast. Rico Dowdle still limited with an ankle injury, the same as Monday. Peyton Hendershot still listed as full. His window does not have to be opened before tomorrow's game, so he can go one more game still on the IR. But then going into the Philadelphia game, he would have to be activated. Tyrus Wheat was upgraded to a full participant on Tuesday with his concussion. Mozzie Smith still on the injury report, full with a shoulder injury. And then Jayron Kearse was upgraded to full with his back injury. And we didn't mention this yesterday, but he was asked on Monday, what are the odds that he plays on Thursday? He said 200%. So good stuff.
That's
there.
That's good.
And then the last news and note we'll get to really fast, just kind of recapping the Shaquille Leonard visit from yesterday. we were kind of talking about it pre-show. I think Isaiah had asked the question, was he always going to leave without a contract? And John answered, and it's how I feel as well. And it's what it sounds like it was as far as truth goes. He was always going to see his options out. And I kind of tweeted about it yesterday on Twitter, or Z'd about it, whatever you want to say.
What about it?
Z'd, that's an X. Like, apparently that's like what you're supposed to say.
That's a new thing? Z'd.
Yeah, I'm not saying it. I'm never saying that outside of like an official atmosphere. Absolutely not. Elon can go to
that's
hell.
That's your boy, Elon.
Yeah, I'm not saying nothing bad about Elon before tomorrow.
What if he names the Cybertruck the X truck? Are you gonna call it that?
I'm calling it whatever the heck I want to call it once I purchase it.
That's
gonna be
it.
The Standback Mobile. That's what it is.
All right,
the Standmobile. I like that. But I tweeted about it yesterday, and I said, look, this is not a normal free agency. Or not a normal mid-season free agency. He was always going to see his options out, and it's going to happen a lot in a lot shorter of a time frame than a typical big-time free agency would happen if it were, say, over the offseason, just because he still wants to get on the field and contribute for a team down the stretch and learn the playbook and things of that nature. He's going to see these options out. He's going to go to the Eagles today, and then I wouldn't be surprised if he sees another team between now and the weekend, and he's going to make his decision this weekend. But it sounds like it's going to come down to the Eagles and the Cowboys. He has a lot of connections with his fraternity in Philadelphia. He has a lot of connections on the coaching staff in Philadelphia. So those are things that they're going to have to battle. He apparently has a lot of friends and family in Philadelphia as well. So these are things that the Cowboys are definitely going to have to contest and battle with. But as far as everything we've heard, and maybe John can add from what he knows, the visit went good yesterday. It went as good as they could have thought. That he checks out when it came to the health stuff, which was, I know we were talking about that yesterday with the two back surgeries that he had last year. And now it's just kind of a wait and see approach.
I thought you hit all of it. No, I have nothing to add to that. Obviously, Cowboys would like to add him. They made that pretty clear. There's similarities I see with the way they've gone about this to when they went after Odell Beckham. You know, they've made it pretty open, and it hasn't always been that way. So I wonder if it'll be like Odell Beckham too, where it comes down to Jerry made it pretty clear in that one throughout that he didn't want to give more than just the contract for the rest of the season. And if you're Shaq Leonard, you're probably looking for more than that, I guess. So that might be the difference between him signing with the Cowboys and maybe signing somewhere else.
If I'm Shaq, I'm looking for a 2-year deal. And I might be off as far as numbers go here, but maybe like a $16 million type deal, just because you want to have
the 2 years.
Yeah,
correct.
Exactly. Okay. Not per year. Just because you want to have enough stability, obviously, for those two seasons, but give yourself 2 years of opportunity to earn a extended contract where you can get that money that you were earning in Indianapolis with another team. It would just kind of make sense. The threshold that Darius Leonard has already passed that Odell couldn't really pass last year was the health thing too.
Yeah.
And to be able to pass that, I think that's what's has everybody in this building really excited about the potential of adding Leonard. But, you know, I kind of wrote about this in Nick at Night last night, and it ended up kind of being about Darius Leonard in the last couple of paragraphs, and it wasn't really what it was intended to be, but that's what kind of happens when you start writing with no end. You have Marquise Bell and Damone Clark, these guys that have really stepped up and have filled different roles in this linebacking core this year. You know, if you don't get Darius Leonard, it's not the end of the world. You have two really good pass defenders in that second level. I feel like you have 1.5 good run defenders in that second level as well, and you have capable guys that are starting to step up in that interior defensive line and that safety group all the way down the middle of the field. Is the run defense probably still the biggest liability on this defense? Yes, I believe so, but I believe it's more capable than it was last season. I don't feel like it's going to be as big of a hindrance as it was towards like the middle and end of last regular season. Would Darius Leonard be a welcomed addition on this team? Absolutely. That would be a huge addition to this run defense, but I'm not 100% certain that it would be, you know, the thing that would put this defense over the top. I think it would still put this defense in the same echelon, in the same tier that it is right now.
I think the other thing that factors in is that, you know, Leighton's out, Overshown's out, and then I just go back to the game last week where Marquise Bell was in that tent for a while. Yeah, like, I kept looking back, and he's still in there. Now, he ends up being fine, but it just is one of those things that goes through your mind. You're like, all right, well, then who's the next one up there? So they need Shaq Leonard. You know, they need him probably more than whoever else is going to be out there. So it'll be interesting to see what it comes down to.
What does your gut tell you?
That he ends up being a Cowboy?
You think
so? Yeah.
My gut tells me Eagle.
Me too.
Okay.
Me too. I think
I'll split it right down the middle. My gut says Cowboy. I don't think they let him, because I agree with John on the fact that they need him specifically. If they don't get him, it's not the end of the world. I thought it was outlined yesterday pretty well that you temper your expectations based on wherever he signs, no matter what.
He's not going to win you the Super Bowl immediately if he signs here. He's not going to win the Eagles the Super Bowl immediately if he signs there.
I guess that's one of the reasons why I think he'll end up an Eagle. Because Dallas takes that, oh, you know, if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't type approach. Versus Philly's like, no, we need you in the building. Like, we need you. Like, we need you.
That's from the outside looking in. We're in the building, so we get a pretty good indication.
I understand.
Howie Roseman does have a track record of saying,
yep,
I want you. You're now here.
Absolutely.
I get it.
Yeah.
But that's not always the case.
No, it's not.
They pass on prospects all the time,
absolutely,
too.
But I'm just going off of the most recent history in terms of being aggressive and adding pieces to his roster to ensure that he has the best shot at winning a Super Bowl. Philadelphia has a better track record of that than the Dallas Cowboys. And then you add in the added elements that you were just talking about, Nick, in terms of all the family and all the other, you know, underlying factors. I don't see how Philadelphia doesn't secure the bag there.
Yeah.
That's just my gut. If I felt, even though he was always planning on going to see multiple teams, I always felt in my heart, if he's allowed to leave this building, chances are he's probably not going to come back in this building.
That's a key as well. Nick Eatman wrote about it yesterday on the website. He said, Leonard has apparently made promises to other teams that he would at least listen to all offers before making a decision. So not just the Eagles, not just the Cowboys. There are other teams here that we don't know about yet. It's so easily comparable to the Odell Beckham Jr. scenario, because at that point it was two teams, and then, there's a ghost team, there's a fourth team. Oh, my gosh, they're going to try and court and turn around, but it didn't end up working out because of the health issue. They could have utilized Odell Beckham if he was healthy.
Yeah, the difference was Odell hadn't shown that he was capable of playing yet.
Correct.
That's not the case here.
Yeah, Shaq's been on the field.
It's not the case here. So it's totally different. There was a huge question mark over Odell Beckham and whether or not he was play ready and all that jazz.
Beckham's play ready, there's no team that's letting him go.
Exactly. No. Exactly. Right, so if Odell Beckham had been on the field and then started taking his visits, totally different situation.
Yeah.
So my gut. I hope that Dallas finds a way. I don't see it happening.
Well, this side right here down the middle, is trying to be glass half empty.
Also, if you're him, though, honestly, what are you thinking?
Go to Dallas because it's the best damn scenario out there.
Let me just state this as somebody that I'm not a Cowboys fan. I didn't grow up a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
But there is something about the Cowboys that's different than I'm a huge sports fan. Like, and I'm not sit at home, watch TV sports fan. Like, I'm a single guy. My life is sports. I've been to a lot of places. It's tough to beat the Cowboys, man. It's tough to beat everything that comes with it.
I don't disagree. I've been around the world and I get it.
Yes.
Trust me. But there's something. When you look at what both teams are doing,
like
what they've both
weather,
been through.
I don't want to play outside, so I guess I'm a bad example.
Out on Seattle. Done.
No, Seattle sounds very enticing. Philadelphia playing outside. I also don't love the idea that you just have a couple bad plays and your fan base is ripping you harder than anybody else. I don't love all that.
Dallas does that to a certain extent.
I don't know,
too.
Man.
This whole ordeal is reminding me of my last job in recruiting, because he's like taking visits and he's going to make his decision this weekend. And
what's your crystal ball prediction?
Exactly. I was thinking about that yesterday. Honestly, truthfully, if I were to enter a crystal ball, I wouldn't have one right now. So we'll see how Philadelphia.
The biggest thing with me too, and I say that about the Cowboys, is because it's been 27 years, and I always feel like if you could be one of those pieces that got them back to glory, like that just. I challenge you to compare it to something else. Lakers, Yankees, they've all won since then. I'm talking, if you were one of those key pieces that helped put them over the top, like, it's tough to beat that. Now, number one, though, is money. So,
money, family, convenience, man.
Sure.
Speaking of money, and this, of course, you can finagle quite a number of ways, but Dallas right now has $6.6 million in cap space. And the Eagles have 2.3. So it's about a $4 million difference this year specifically between the cap for Philadelphia and the cap for Dallas. Now, Philadelphia's cap next year looks significantly better than it does for Dallas at the moment, but that'll be rearranged and figured out along the way as well. But
so there's only $2.3 million left in cap space?
For Philly.
Oh, for Philly. Oh,
for
okay.
Philly. 6.6 for Dallas currently.
That's considerably different.
For the rest of the season, you're talking about a prorated contract for the back half of the campaign?
Does Philly have an open roster spot? Didn't they just let go of
Derek Barnett?
I mean,
what do you think? It'd be hard to get, you think it'd be hard to get a roster spot here? Yeah.
Don't drink your water like that.
I love that I heard the little air bubble in there.
That was pretty good.
All right.
Did you practice that?
Just saying, things don't happen by chance. That's all I'm saying.
The air bubble.
We spent a lot of time on this. Isaiah, you've got like 4 minutes
that's
to
all
go
I need.
Through.
That's
some.
All I need.
He wasn't ready. 15.
Wide 80. Wide 80.
It's time for QB Vision with Isaiah Standback.
Go for it.
All right, y'all. We're going to blow through this real quick. The Seattle Seahawks, these dudes are fast. They're really fast. That's probably the best way to describe them. I think that's been their model for some years now. Defensively, that's what they rest that's what they rest on. They always have. This year is no different. We can start up front and with their defensive front. They don't really have a bunch of dogs up front, I would say. Boye Mafe is pretty good. He's definitely pretty good. You got Leonard Williams that they just picked up. Obviously, those are kind of the guys that they really rely on heavily in terms of trying to be run-stopping. And then Mafe being a guy who's a pass rusher. They don't have a lot of stunts. So unlike Dallas, they're not doing a bunch of stunts and trying to confuse you and create all these different leverage matchups. Like, these guys are pretty much line up and try to beat you with speed. They put the big boy Leonard Williams in the middle to try to clog things up, to kind of deter you from running the rock. The guys that are absolute dogs for them, you got to go up to the second level. And that's where you run into Bobby Wagner and you run into Jordan Brooks. Those two guys are complete monsters. I think Bobby Wagner has 113 tackles already. I think Jordan Brooks has like 95 or something. It's crazy. Like, they're right there with each other. Those guys play downhill. They're sure. They're smart. They don't pick the wrong holes. They communicate really well together non-verbally. I mean, these guys, they work in tandem, and that's the reason why they're able to get a lot of tackles. The defensive line is doing a good job of being gap disciplined and allowing those guys to free flow, and that's the reason why their numbers are so high in terms of tackles at that linebacker position. That's not where most people are putting their attention at, though. Most people are obviously going to look out to the outside and where are their defensive backs are. Their defensive backs and Devin Witherspoon, who's an absolute beast. Reek Woolen, absolute beast. And then Trey Brown does a really good job as well, number 22. All three of their defensive backs do a great job. And then you look at their safeties, and I honestly believe that their safeties are underappreciated. As their cornerbacks have been so successful and been so dominant, their safeties are enforcers, and they have three of them. They have Jamal Adams, which I'm sure everybody in Dallas is familiar with. Quandre Diggs, he's a beast as well. And then a man who doesn't
– huh? Hook him.
Yep. And another man who I don't think gets enough appreciation is going to be Julian Love. And he's the guy who pops off the film for me. He's not the big name, but he's a man who has a ton of tackles. And I think he's had a greater impact on that defense than even Quandre Diggs has. So they have much like Dallas has a three-headed monster at safety, they have a three-headed monster at safety as well, but they don't use all three of them in the game at the same time. This team, Dallas is number one in the league in terms of having nickel. I'm sorry, not nickel, but dime. These guys are at the top of the league in terms of having nickel. So these guys like to have three DBs, two safeties in at all times, which leaves their box a little bit lighter. But that's why they have those two guys at the second level. They can pretty much stop anything that comes their way. They're tackling machines. In terms of what do they run coverage-wise, they run a lot of too high. They're at the top of the league in terms of split safety coverages. They want to keep everything in front of them. They are playing typically cover two to cover four, but how they play it is very aggressively. So they are not playing the traditional, you know, line up. We're going to line up just outside in cover two. We're going to line up half a man outside of you. We're going to force everything in. They'll mix around how they line up on you. They'll line up head up. They'll line up inside. Their defensive backs have the freedom to do whatever the heck they want to as long as they're still remaining within their scheme. And because of that flexibility, because of their skill set, they can bait you and put you in a lot of bad situations. They can make you, you'll feel like your receiver has a step on somebody, but because of their speed on the outside, you don't have a step. They're able to run all over the place. Their safeties run sideline to sideline. So a lot of gaps that are in your coverage, a lot of times, those guys are closing those gaps. Much like we talked about Deron Bland closing gaps on these receivers and getting interceptions, these guys do the same thing with PBUs. Okay, they're running all over the place. You think you have a guy open, boop, they're over there in a heartbeat, bat it down, and they are just super-duper fast. This team flies around. They don't stop, and it's a reason why you have to punch them in the mouth and limit their confidence, because if they get confident, This can get pretty serious. You talk about a team that flies around, hits, high energy coach, high energy sideline, you know, guys are coming in the game, they want to make a play. It's kind of like Dallas's defense in the regard of once they get rolling, they're hard to stop. But, you know, it's tough. I think if I had to say what their weakness is, I would say that you can run the ball on them in terms of getting their defensive line off the ball. Their defensive ends are not run-stopping defensive ends, if I had to say. Not like a DeMarcus Lawrence. He can stop the run. I don't think that their defensive ends can, so I think you have an opportunity to get up to the – possibly to the second level. You have to get up to the second level if you want to stop Brooks and Bobby Wagner, because if you don't, they'll ruin your day.
So it's almost the flip-flop of what Dallas brings mm-hmm. defensively, where Dallas, it's the pressure
yep.
that helps set up the secondary.
Yep.
Here, it's the secondary that helps set up the interior.
Correct. Yeah, those guys, your guys aren't, even though they're not playing a lot of man-to-man, it feels like man-to-man.
Yeah.
They're playing zone, but
it's zone 83%
yeah,
of the time.
They're at the top of the league in terms of zone.
Fourth in the league in terms of how many times they run zone.
But it doesn't feel like zone. It's weird.
That's weird.
So like most teams, you play zone, and it's like, okay, well, there's going to be a gap there. This is the weakness of this
zone. That's just pure speed.
This pure speed, man. And these guys have the freedom, again, to kind of freestyle. And I kind of relate it to, you remember Troy Polamalu? Troy Polamalu, like you might be playing
cover. I remember Troy Polamalu. No, I'm playing.
Yeah. So you might be playing cover. He might be playing cover three. You look back there's no safety. Well, it's because he's at the line of scrimmage, and next thing you know, he's freaking jetting out 25 yards back to the middle of the field
yeah.
and try to throw it over his head if you
speed.
Want to. He has the speed to get back. So they give their guys that kind of freedom to mess around and try to screw the look of the quarterback. So I foresee them trying to do the same exact thing with Dak. And the receivers of Dallas are not going to have free releases, whether it's man-to-man, whether it's cover three whenever they go single high safety, or whether it's their two high shell defense. They're going to get hands on you.
Yeah.
I mean, E Honda style, you're not getting off the line. You better work on your releases, whether it's man or zone. They'll run trap cover two where they'll get their hands on you, drop out, think that they're going back, and then they'll come back to where they started. You got to have your head on a swivel, and you have to do a good job of getting their hands off you if you want to get open.
Would you say this is Dak's best competition, will be his toughest matchup since San Francisco defensively?
I think this would be not necessarily Dak's. I think this is going to be the receivers.
Mm.
I think this would be the biggest challenge. This is the best secondary that Dallas has faced this year.
I think that's fair across the board.
Yeah, across the board. Straight up.
I think that is fair. That's
straight up. And this is a team that, again, they don't play man.
Mm.
So that's saying a lot, right? That's saying a lot for a team that doesn't play man-to-man. They're going to play man-to-man techniques in zone coverage. So they're playing you like as man, but they still have zone help. That's a problem.
How similar do you feel like this defense is when it comes to personnel and scheme, especially with how young this defense
yeah.
is, too, to the Jets and kind of like what they've been able to put together? The only difference
yeah.
is they don't have an offense behind them, the Jets
yeah,
don't.
Facts,
the Seattle don't. Has a little bit more there.
I can see your comparison there. I think that these guys have more DBs. I think they have you know, when you start talking about, you know, Witherspoon, Brown, and Woolen, those three right there are highly skilled guys. You know, the Jets have, I think, two guys that, you know, obviously Hot Sauce, and I can't remember the other guy, but they have two guys that can play man-to-man and lock you up, and they want to play man-to-man.
Mm-hmm.
The Seattle doesn't want to play man-to-man.
Yeah.
They don't, right? So, but they're going to get up there and get in your face as if it's man-to-man, and when they do that, it's distracting because you're so concerned about trying to get your release that you almost have to now remember what coverage they're actually playing, right? When you get so concerned about just trying to beat that one guy, like, okay, I got him. Okay, you're like, crap, now what the heck is the coverage?
Jamal you know what I'm Adams saying? Is right.
Yeah, there's Jamal Adams or Diggs or whatever. So, I mean, you have to keep your eyes up and you have to be very aware because they definitely want to do the smoke in front of your face and kind of hide whatever else they're doing. And they do a great job of passing off coverage. I mean, it's seamless, you know, and Dallas. So for instance, you know, some of the things that have been open for Dallas in terms of Brandon Cooks, why am I blinking right now?
CeeDee Lamb.
Not CeeDee.
Jalen Tolbert. Michael Gallup.
Terp. You know,
we're going to get there. We'll get there.
B. Cooks and Terp. You know, those guys coming in short motion, kind of going across the field and things like that, and they've kind of been wide open. I don't foresee that being the case because these guys communicate so well. right? They're doing their own thing. They're back there having fun. They're freestyling. It's like we're playing in the backyard. And as soon as somebody comes in short motion, it's just literally like it's a bump of coverage. It's not like they're trying to say, okay, hey, over, now let me see what I have. It's like, okay, boom, 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 now I got this guy. And it's just like smooth. There's no gaps in the passing off of responsibilities whatsoever. You could tell these guys have fun playing together and that they are literally on one wavelength.
I know we have to get into break. Little note that I wanted to throw in really quick. It's fair to say it starts in the secondary and it helps everything else. Mm-hmm. For me, it starts in the second level because those guys are so disciplined. Yes. Bobby Wagner and Jordan Brooks. Yep. It allows everything around them in the secondary to just kind of focus on their job, and they know that the middle of the field is going to be fine. Yeah. And those boundaries, they just focus on that, and it'll allow for everything.
These two are as good of the sure thing at linebacker position there is in the league in terms of a tandem.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other outside of San Francisco. I can't think of any other tandem that's as good as these guys are in terms of working together.
Well, and there was a fear early in the offseason. Once we got to like preseason game number two, whenever we were calling it in Seattle, we kind of knew Jordan Brooks would be back, but there was early offseason concern that he wouldn't even play this year. Yeah. And instead, he's played 11 games and he's been fantastic all the way through. Yeah. And he looks like his old self, which is a credit in his own right, credit to their training staff to get him ready to go. But Bobby Wagner, too. You talk about Bobby Wagner, what he's doing, and this is year number 12
crazy
for him, and he's still got 100 tackles.
Dallas could have had him.
I mean, yeah.
In terms of health, Leonard Williams is the only one on their injury report of note. He's dealing with an ankle. Didn't practice on Monday, but he was limited yesterday.
He'll play.
Good to know.
Bobby Wagner, 113 tackles. Jordan Brooks, 95. That's wild. Julian Love, 79.
Jordan Brooks Wreckham, by the way. Go ahead.
What was it?
Jordan Brooks Wreckham.
Bro, tech. By the way, for those that watch the draft show and Talking Cowboys, because I know you're out there as well, you might remember Reek Woolen was a big pet cat of the draft show of myself because went to UCSA. They called
meep,
him.
Meep.
called him Reek. Reek the Freak is what they called him at UTSA. And, I mean, he is a freak of nature. Yeah. He's long. He's speedy. But then they go out and they spend a first-round pick on Devin Witherspoon. Yeah, fifth overall pick. Highest drafted player in the Pete Carroll era ever. And he's more of like a freak than what Tyreek Woolen is. So,
you know what's
really impressive? How does Woolen, just like Bland, how do they fall to the fifth round?
That he played at a group of five school. He had limited time. He dealt with some injuries at UTSA. It was a bad secondary. Good front seven, so they probably just film wise didn't trust exactly what they had seen. But man, he
nice.
6 foot four, 205. His numbers at the combine were phenomenal. He had six picks his senior year.
Big credit to Seattle too.
Yeah. I want to add one thing. These defensive backs, they will hit the crap out of you. All of them. Their safeties are headhunters. All three of their safeties are headhunters. They want to decapitate you. And then you have all three of their corners come up and hit, too. Devin Witherspoon is their fifth highest tackler on the team. Has the fifth highest amount of tackles on their team. These guys will come up while they're playing that too high shell. They want to come up and hit you.
So that was the calling card for Witherspoon in the draft, is that he wants to be physical.
He has over 60 tackles this year. He's fifth in tackles on their team, which is absurd for a corner.
Another thing I just remembered, going back to John's question just now for Woolen, he was a wide receiver who made the switch to corner as a junior, so he only had 2 years as a cornerback at UTSA.
Because there's just limited. A lot of things during the draft when it comes to the Cowboys. A lot of people talk about how on their DBs, the corners, they like those long arms, tall corners, everything like that.
Yeah,
that's not the Cowboys. That's the NFL. Yeah. So when you have a guy like that, everybody wants
with the Fort Worth,
guys.
Fort Worth Arlington Heights.
Mm. Yeah, there you go. The Yellow Jackets, right?
Yes, sir.
There you go. All right, we got to take our first break. There's QB Vision. When we come back, we're going to hit some national storylines and continue previewing the Cowboys and the Seahawks right after this on Talking Cowboys.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, this segment of the show is brought to you by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys. All right, John, let's get into some national storylines.
Yeah, so at The Athletic, we did an anonymous player poll. Writers from cover all the teams went up to players. I went up to a few in the Cowboys locker room, and so their names aren't included, but they vote on. We basically read off 10, 15 questions. If you don't want to answer one, you don't have to. But so in all, we got about, I think it's like 85, 90 players. So I just want to run by a couple things real quick. The first one, the one that I thought was the funniest, most annoying fan base, okay? Two teams clearly far exceed everybody else. What two teams you guys think?
Wonder
those
which
are?
Ones those are.
Well,
they
one
both
of them
happen
is,
to be in the same division.
They do.
Cowboys one, and Eagles.
Yeah, one of them's right here, and the other one's in Philly.
Neck and neck, man. Eagles beat them out 25% to 24% really? Over the Cowboys.
Wow.
Neck
so Philly won.
Yeah.
That's right.
How would you should be. How would you rate overall officiating in the NFL? And I know it's a small percentage, but 2.5%. Set a 10, like that it couldn't get any better. I can't believe that even got a vote.
I'm shocked it got a vote, too.
Yeah.
How many players did it say?
81 for that one. Because, like I said, there's not every player was not like, no, you have to answer this. It's like, if you don't want, you can just pass or whatever.
Yeah.
2.5% set a 10.
So
it can't
be
any better.
Like three people said 10?
It had to be like three punters.
That just, I don't know, that really surprised me.
No, they all three play for the Eagles.
Yeah,
all three play for Philly. That's the only thing.
10% said it was a 1. Like, that couldn't be any worse. Yeah.
So. Was that the overwhelming number, 1?
No, it was kind of in the middle. Around gotcha. 5-6 was five or kind six. Of where it was at, yeah. Which I would probably agree with. I think if someone asked me that, I would say that. You think it's terrible?
Ever since the replacement officials and that whole debacle back in what year was that where they had the strike?
That's a good
and the
question. Yeah, 12,
I can't 13. Remember what year that was. Yeah. I will not I criticize the. I'm sure
yeah,
you
I
do.
Lost a lot of money that year, Kyle.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. I don't think I would criticize them as a one. Now I will criticize officiating significantly if it's bad, but I don't think it'd be that bad. That was about as bad as it's ever been.
So you played in the NFL, so you answer last on this. I want to get your guys' opinion. If the NFL had a team overseas, would you be willing to play for it?
Where?
Can't tell you that. Just it's overseas.
Just overseas. So it would have to be.
I mean, it's an NFL city, so I don't think that they're going to put it in.
It would mean like outside of North America, right?
Yes.
Overseas.
Yes. Could be. I guess that would mean.
Yeah. And the question is, where would you?
Most likely.
No, no, no. Would you
be
willing to play for that team?
Would you?
Well, think about the places that they've been playing these games.
Right.
London, Germany.
Right.
Have they played anywhere else that I'm thinking of? I'm missing one.
They're working on Viva la Mexico.
Oh yeah, they played Mexico in Mexico City. But that's not over the. That's not. Overseas.
It's out the country.
Yeah,
it is out the.
We'll
country.
We'll throw that in for this. For our purposes, we'll include.
This
Mexico
is like
City.
The 30,000 foot view, literally, because what I'm thinking of is travel.
Yeah.
Gosh, some of these. You think about Dallas and the road trips that they have to take because their division is all the way across the country, and then they have to play at least three West Coast games a year. Dallas travels quite a bit, arguably more than any team in the league.
Seattle actually travels the most, by the way.
That would make sense. Yeah. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. If you would have to come across the Atlantic every single road game, gosh, and you would have to stay over.
Like certain weeks where you're like you're playing two different teams. Yeah.
You would have to be able to stay in the U.S. and have like a headquarters somewhere on the East Coast.
And that
to be
sounds
able to
like
chill.
A blast.
Do I get paid in euros?
That's a great question.
I mean, that is a great question.
Does it matter?
Oh, it definitely matters.
I mean, if it's the same number,
now you want to talk about,
then it matters. But if it's going to be currencied equaled out, I'm sure.
Taxes. Listen,
you want to talk about you want to talk about free agents acquisitions and Dallas' ability to be able to retain some free agents. Taxes play a big role in that, buddy.
I'd say no. Okay. I would say no. I would love to play in the same division as them.
I would say no.
I would.
You would do
it. Hop over it.
Okay, so 55% said no, which actually was higher than I thought. Big landslide, best player in the game, Patrick Mahomes, 46% of the votes, not even close.
Wow.
This one didn't surprise me either. Which current coach in the NFL would you like to play for other than your own?
Oh, Tomlin.
That was my first thought, but I'm...
And McDaniels.
Climbing high on that list is Mike McDaniels.
Yeah.
Gosh, that one's hard. I'd probably go McDaniel.
I was about to say, yeah. That's just kind of your dude.
You guys are good.
Yeah, it is my
you
dude.
You guys are really good. Tomlin was number one by a decent amount, 26%. McDaniel was second.
Number two.
So that was last
Andy
one
Reid, too, honestly. I love me some
That's
Andy.
A good one.
He was. Like, others, like kind of like in the middle, a bunch of different things, was 10%, but Andy Reid was the next one. So you guys got this down.
What was Pete Carroll like? I know you've had interactions with him back and forth.
Pete Carroll's fun.
Yeah,
he's fun. He's all about
Since
competition.
Since we're playing Seattle,
he's all about competition. High energy guy. He's all about letting guys duke it out to be the best. He doesn't crown anybody aside from probably Bobby Wagner or Russell Wilson with their starting role. Everybody has to work for it. And every week there's competition days, there's turnover days. Like there's certain points of emphasis and there's a lot of jokes, a lot of clowning around. He brings in comedians all the time and magicians and he keeps it fun. Like he really does a great job of keeping it. Like you look forward to team meetings because you just don't know if Will Ferrell might walk in. Mm-hmm. Just random stuff like that. Somebody gets called up and has to shoot a basketball to win something, try to make it like it's or you walk in there to be a picture of Kyle back in high school with a leotard on or something. You just don't know.
Where'd you find that?
I don't know. Half secret.
don't put that out there.
Last one before I go to the next subject. Last one from the player poll. Best stadium to play in.
Superdome.
No.
I love the Superdome.
I do too.
I really hope that's the Wild
Card. Oddly enough, I've never been to the Superdome.
That's the Wild Card game.
That's why you're saying no.
I know, but I'm just saying there's no way that's number
why
one.
Why do you guys like it?
Oh, the atmosphere.
The atmosphere's great. Crazy. It's the culture of New Orleans. Yeah. It's my
I do love
home.
New Orleans,
I love
but I've
that place.
Never been to the Superdome.
I would probably say, though.
I bet you AT&T's number one on that list.
Nope.
I doubt
wow.
it.
Wow.
I doubt that.
Eighth. AT&T Stadium's eighth.
Eighth?
Eighth.
Jesus.
What was the question again?
Best stadium to play in.
Best stadium to play in.
Miami?
No, heck no.
Just not SoFi.
Vibes, you don't have to really deal with an opposing crowd that
LA.
Much.
It has to be LA.
SoFi was third.
I don't know there.
Lambeau? KC?
Lambeau was fourth.
Oh, best in terms of, this is from players' perspective?
Yeah.
Oh, Arizona.
No.
Wow.
Not even, no.
The grass.
Not even on there.
The grass
well,
is
no,
awesome.
It is. It is on there, but it's way down.
Levi Stadium.
KC?
No. KC is number one, 18%.
Wow.
And second is probably my favorite stadium to go to is in Minnesota, US Bank.
Okay.
Everyone always tells me.
Yeah, I forgot about Minnesota.
Yeah, so we used to play there every freaking year. When
Lumen Field, 8.3, top five.
Not there.
Oh, I mean, the atmosphere is dope.
Yeah.
Seattle's fun. But in terms of like surface,
Arizona's
awesome.
Yeah.
I really liked Seattle Stadium. It was really cool.
Okay, I can put you on the spot on that. Never mind. I was going to say which is the worst, but no. One other thing I wanted to get in, the last one here. just because it's become a popular topic in the last 24 hours, is just Aaron Rodgers basically going to bat for how well Dak Prescott's been playing. Aaron Rodgers does that weekly Pat McAfee interview. Just to go over it real quick, he goes, he's playing the position in a really impressive way. I love the way he's playing, like really playing. I'm not talking about just making good throws. I'm talking about it seems more rare that guys are actually really playing the position where you're making adjustments, you're handling everything at the line of scrimmage. I love it. So that is a pretty popular topic right now, but I just want to throw this in at the end. He said, I just wanted to shout out Dak for really impressing me. It's just such an Aaron Rodgers thing to say.
Yeah, that
is
kind of like
a shout out for you really impressed me. But
it's like, shout out, little bro. That's kind of what it sounded
that's
like.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
And what was funnier about that, too, is that it was in response to a question from Pat about his cadence, like the here we go. Like, it was like, hey, that's like pretty cool, you know? It's like different. Like, what kind of cadences have you used in your career? And then that was his answer.
Was that your Pat McAfee impression?
Not really. I could really go into it if you wanted me to, but I think it would be great. Ask me next week.
Keep your sweatshirt on.
That's funny. I got a tank top under this. Let's go.
I think
50 Cent one?
No.
I think Dak Prescott is starting to finally get the national
recognition.
Maybe respect. Not even recognition, because recognition's been there.
Respect.
Respect. That's the better way to put it. The national respect of what he's been doing. I think it would explode if he can do it against Seattle, Philadelphia, Detroit, Miami, all these teams down, Buffalo, down the stretch. If he can keep this up, not only would he be in the MVP conversation, but he might be the MVP front runner. He has a chance to take off right now. He's playing really, really incredible football.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt about that. I don't care who's on the opposite sideline. If he can continue that with who's coming up on the opposite sideline, he's going to be the MVP front runner. That's where Dak Prescott is, and I think Aaron Rodgers is jumping on the boat before a lot of people do.
Not a bad year to have that run for him.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I think it starts with you have to beat Seattle, but then you have to beat Philly, and you have to outplay Jalen Hurts, because that's going to be your number one competition to win the division, to probably win that award.
I just don't understand why Jalen Hurts is a front runner, and it's not Philadelphia hate. Like, it's just legitimately looking at I understand that, but like you remember when Pittsburgh started the season 11-0? It wasn't like they were looking at Ben Roethlisberger like, runaway MVP favorite. You know, it's just like I don't get it. It's very weird to me.
It's
not Jalen Hurts hate at all. I actually really like Jalen Hurts.
Yeah,
he's
a really good player.
But
it also has been a weird year where a lot of the MVP front runners, or per se, that you could have had have either been hurt or injured for a significant amount of time, or just haven't played well for a stretch of time, and it's just kind of been up and down. It's a weird year where it's wide open.
Yeah.
And honestly, the MVP front runner right now may not be the MVP or even close to the MVP by the end of the year, because there's still a long way to go this season. It's one of those weird years overall. But I think Aaron saying that it's great for him to give that recognition, but it's also, he might just be jumping on a bandwagon before he gets an opportunity, or before everybody else gets an opportunity to join him. So
All right, we're good.
All right. When we come back, we're going to go through some really quick key matchups, and we're going to give our picks for the Cowboys and the Seahawks on Thursday Night Football. More Talking Cowboys right after this.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a Coffee Club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to BlackRifleCoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at GetJackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's GetJackBlack.com. jackblack.com/cowboys with the code COWBOYSVIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, this portion of the show is brought to you by Quaker Oats, a super trusted superfood. Mm. Quaker Oats, the official oatmeal sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. Did you get them in this morning?
I did.
Apparently.
I did not.
I love that this is a daily question. I hope we can keep that going.
We'll keep it going.
We're going to fly through key matchups. Is that all right?
Yeah, let's roll.
Let's do it. Okay.
Go for it.
Starting first with Devin Witherspoon versus CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is going to see a couple of different matchups, I think, on Thursday. But Devin Witherspoon's probably going to be the guy that is lined up opposite of him the most, just because they're going to pair him with a guy that not only has a little bit of physicality in Witherspoon, but also has the a center of gravity to be able to move with CeeDee. That's the biggest thing whenever you're trying to cover CeeDee Lamb. You have to be able to be thrown off your course and get right back on super quick, because you're not going to be able to stay on your course the entire route. Devin Witherspoon does such a good job of that. It's a reason why he's one of the leading contenders for NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think that's going to be a really fun matchup. I think the winner of that matchup could help determine a lot of offensive success for Dallas.
I like it.
Do you think that CD has a big game?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
I don't think he has a big game, but I think he has, you know, touchdown, 60 yards. You know, I think it's what he's been doing the last couple of weeks, yeah. Which is fine. Like, you know, I think it's going to have to be a group effort. I think
who
this
has
is a game.
The highest potential to have a big game for the Cowboys offensively, like stat wise. If you like, at the end of the day, you're just like, hey, that the reason they won was because so and so had a big game.
Tony Pollard.
No, I don't believe so. Yeah. I don't believe so. I look at Jake Ferguson and see an opportunity, but the only thing I worry about with Jake Ferguson, if they can't get the running game going, mm-hmm. then he's going to be wiped out. Yeah. So for that, I'll say Brandon Cooks, just because he's got more speed than anyone on the field.
Yeah, I think this is a game for Cooks to have to step up, and even that's not going to be easy against the secondary. This offense, they might struggle to put up points in this game. They really might. This is going to be a game where your defense has to help set the tone mm-hmm. and give you an extra possession or two.
Yeah.
It's going to be a challenging game.
They really will be. Yeah.
Second one, really quick, and this is going to be – this kind of goes into running game, Bobby Wagner, all of that. This is the first time I've ever done a running back versus linebacker key matchup this season, just because it's with the way the running back position is played in 2023, it's hard to like find a matchup between a running back and a linebacker. But this is a specific case, because Tony Pollard and the way he's been using this offense downhill so much, and with the way Bobby Wagner is such a run stopper and how he identifies the run so quickly and how he's able to fill those running lanes, those two guys are going to see each other so much on Thursday. I think you're going to see those guys try to beat each other. And if Tony Pollard can get around Bobby Wagner and kind of force him into some running lanes that where he's not going to be, and that's what Pollard does really well between the tackles. He'll jump in one, and then he'll come around on the other side. If he's able to do that and get the running game going, that will allow for this offense to score more than 30 points. If he's not able to, I think they score under 30.
Yeah. It's so funny about just where we are in the NFL with how much it's just changed, because I just think of, like, when I was watching in the 90s, like, the – top running back versus whoever the top linebacker was from the other team would always be a key matchup. But just the way everything's changed, it is gone to the wayside.
It's almost like a running back versus nickel at times, with the way they're used so much outside zone and the screen game and the receiving game. Like Eckler, if they played Seattle, like it'd be Devin Witherspoon versus Austin Eckler, like every single snap, you would think. But that's just the way the game's played. It's very strange.
Two very good matchups for you gentlemen. By the way, before we get into our picks, Chris Beam doing some live producing in the back. He sent me a tweet. Apparently, DeSean Jackson, Cowboy Killer, has announced his retirement.
Wow.
and he's officially done. He hasn't played this year, but finished his career with 61 receptions, 1,300 yards, and 6 touchdowns against the Cowboys alone.
Did he drop the pen before he signed the retirement?
Whoa.
Wow.
I had to throw that one in. That was one of my biggest memories of Eagles Cowboys when I was a kid, where he dropped the touchdown.
Yeah. There you go. So just a little bit of news there. All right, let's pick it. Cowboys versus Seahawks. The fighting Dallas Cowboys versus the fighting Isaiah Stanbacks. I mean, the Seattle Seahawks. You're not a Seahawks guy. I mean,
are you going to pick Seattle?
Are you going to pick Seattle?
Yeah, I am a Seattle guy. You're Seattle sports.
You're not a Seahawks guy.
I am a Seattle sports fan. Hmm. I'm not a fan of much around here, but it's
okay.
It's
name every athlete ever from Seattle.
Go.
I'm not doing this.
Run it down.
As much as I love Seattle, I don't see them beating Dallas. Hmm. I do believe that it will be a much more competitive game than Dallas has had in recent weeks. I think this is going to be like a 24-17 type of deal.
Lower scoring
game.
Yeah. A little bit grinded out game. I like it. I'm right around the same scenario. I think Dallas maybe gets a big play late to hit the 30-point mark. I'm going to say 31-16, and Seattle misses like a PAT or something along the way. So give me the Cowboys to win it, and I think mostly it's because the defense, like I said a moment ago, sets the tone early. They get a big interception or something or a fumble recovery from Geno Smith. They pressure him. They take advantage of that offensive line that's not very good, and they force a turnover, give an extra possession, short field to the offense, and they get out on top early. And this is a Cowboys team that is built to play with a lead. So I think they take that lead early, and that's what they ride to a 31-16 win.
I love that. I think the defense is going to be the catalyst towards this one this week. I think especially with it look like Kenneth Walker not playing, I don't feel like there's going to be a lot of opportunities for this Seattle offense to really get going. And
Charbonnet? Coming.
Yeah, it's going to be a Charbonnet time. Shout out to Pac-12 UCLA. Mm. I have it at 24-14 Cowboys.
Mm. RIP to the Pac-12.
31-20 Cowboys. I just, the way they've been playing at home, I can't go against it. It's the most impressive thing that they've done over the last 2 years to me. It's just, I can't believe that they've been able to build that type of an advantage at home. This will be a tougher game than any of these previous ones have been at AT&T Stadium, but I just feel like the defense will make a big play here or there, and I think the offense will do enough. And I do think CeeDee Lamb will have a big game. So 31-20.
Let's go. What's your definition of a big game? What does he get to? Does he hit 100 yards?
Just don't say over under 100 yards.
That's what no, we're not gonna, we're
no not hot sauce.
I'll say 75 yards, touchdown, 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I could see that.
A 2-point conversion.
I guess, how would he get to 31 then?
Yeah, missed extra point. You know,
let's
a couple
go with
times.
That. I like that. Yeah, let's go.
I have 61 yards in my head.
Okay.
And a touchdown.
61?
61 and a touchdown.
It's a pretty good game.
Either one of you guys hit.
Pretty good game.
The end zone. I mean, yeah. All right. That does it for us here on Talking Cowboys, but it doesn't do it for us throughout the week. We will be back on Friday. Not Isaiah Stanback. Isaiah is going to be at the last Pac-12 game ever played. Congrats to your Washington Huskies. Good luck on Friday.
Let's go.
You can catch Isaiah on Cowboys pregame live, though, all the way through.
Oh. We bust open holes.
Just make Bo Nix not win the Heisman, please. No, I don't want to see that. Like, he's not the Heisman.
You can't
here.
Have full Gosh. Adults win Heismans.
But we will be back on Friday. John will be here. Josh will be here. Nick will be here. I will be here as well. Chris Beam's always here. We will be back Friday, 9 a.m. Central Time, to break down the Cowboys and the Seahawks. Thursday night football, 7:15 on Prime Video. Don't miss it. Cowboys pregame live gets underway at 6 p.m. Central Time. For Chris Beam, Isaiah Stanback, John Machota, Nick Harris, I'm Kyle Yeoman, saying so long from the Star in Frisco. We'll see you on Friday for more Talking Cowboys.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!